Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
Well, welcome back around the table. We are so glad that you guys are back here joining us and having these conversations with us and digging in to the Word of God with us and listening to our interpretations, you know, are the way we saw it and way God's telling us. And hopefully you guys see it too. And hopefully you guys are talking back to us when you don't and letting us know, let us have it. But we are continuing on with our man, Peter here. We went through 1 Peter, you know, already. And so now we're just going to keep moving on and we're going to go through 2 Peter. We're not really going to give you too much history because, again, we just went through 1 Peter and this is going to be in about 68 AD. So this is about 4 years after 1 Peter was written, you know, right before his death. But this is likely, this part is likely either after or right around the time that of the burning of Rome.
Yeah.
Because that's really when everything amped up. So, you know, this is obviously before Peter had passed, but not he. It was the year he passed. So the year that he was murdered. I say murdered. Yep. Martyred. Both. Both.
a little bit of everything in there. Yep. It's true.
Tortured.
Above all. Wait, no. Et cetera.
Right. Yeah. But again, so this he is in, you know, he's written to, not in, I guess, yeah, he's written to Asia Minor, to like modern day Turkey, Italy, Turkey area. So chapter All right. one says, this letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle to Jesus Christ. I am writing you to who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Sorry. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In this view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your life with generous provision of moral excellence and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patience, endurance, and patience, endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard and prove that you are really among these God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you that as long as I live, for Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I'm gone. For we are not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes. When we received the honor and glory from God the Father, the voice of the majestic glory said to him, "This is my dearly beloved Son who brings me joy." We ourselves heard the voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets that you must pay attention to when they wrote, for their words are like lamps shining in dark places until the day dawns and Christ the morning star shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in the scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, the prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. So I would say 100% he knew his time was coming because he is making sure that he is laying it out.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think we mentioned it last time. Peter doesn't, he doesn't have flattery words. He gets straight to the point.
Nope. Well, and again, it goes back to, I think, how we talked at the end of the last one, the first book of Peter. He knows what's about to happen in with Rome, and also Jesus had prepared them to suffer and be ready for persecution. I mean, look what happened to Jesus. So
yeah.
So I think there's also that part in some of the warnings and you know, and the prayers and yeah,
they knew what they were facing.
Yeah.
Following Jesus, they had, you know, this is what 30 some years after Christ's crucifixion, they've seen their brothers, their friends, their loved ones already be martyred and die for the cause. You know, they're not going to, he's not going to short circuit. He's laying it out there.
Peter knew that because God told, Jesus told him that he was going to die at an old age, right? Like in an older age for me. People are going to take you where you don't want to go at an older age. So Peter knew his time was running out because he's no longer a young man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he's seasoned. He's been around. Yep. You know, and he, again, like you said, he's seen his friends, his brother. He's seen, you know, his loved ones die in the name of Jesus or for the name of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
So yep. He knew what was coming, and he also like, and he knew his time was running out because he wasn't young.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying he was ancient. I'm just saying he knew that, you know, and I heard it that's why, you know, when he was in prison and they were saying he's going to die in the morning, he slept because he knew Jesus told me he's going to die as an old man. Now he's getting it. He knows. Mm-hmm. He's here.
Can you imagine knowing?
No.
I mean, like,
I'm like, no.
I mean, in the aspect of that, you know, Jesus had told them to be ready to suffer, right? And the atmosphere around them is so tumultuous and traumatic and ready to explode at any moment, right? It's that feeling where you're like, I know. Mm-hmm. I don't know the day. I don't know the time. I'm not saying that kind of knowledge. I'm saying the, this is how it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm being clear on that, but the disciples knew.
They knew. They knew exactly. Yeah. They knew.
That's scary.
I love, though, he's talking about make every effort to respond to God's promise, supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence, you know, and he goes down the list here in, you know, verses 5-7, and it's that go and tell. You're going to go out, you're going to tell, but you're also going to show.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, and it's me saying it first, it's like James, it's that faith without works is dead. So your faith is what it is, but you can tell people all you want, but you need to show it.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have these moral excellence and self-control and patience and godliness and brotherly affection and a love for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I want to know, how is it that I feel like, again, we touch on this, but yet we get so, no, we don't get it, but people forget this part. How mm-hmm. is it not as clear to others as it is to me? Or is it, again, am I misinterpreting the Bible that we're supposed to love everybody? Do I have the wrong version? Should I have a different, you know, I don't know.
I think it's we don't want to work at it. Mm-hmm. And the world you're talking about involves work.
That's true.
You know, that's exactly. And, you know, as he's writing those verses, you know, verse 5 through 7, you know, it's also a progression, you know, because we're supposed to work at it. And as we work, we grow deeper and deeper and deeper. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a, you know, a still waters. It's a constant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dig.
Yeah. Well, it's like one of those, can you imagine going through life without your parents or your spouse or, you know, those key people in your world that help you to keep growing and keep going while you're being stretched to do things you didn't think you were supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine doing that without, I mean, my father passed a few years ago, so it's hard doing it without him, but I also have all these wonderful memories of watching him do it that encourage me to do it even in the midst of uncertainty or disaster or hard people to work with or hard people to be around, you know, all the things. But because I've had that example of my dad, I have my current example with my mom. I have, you know, I have a husband. I've got great friends, you all included. I've got people who, that's right, snaps anyway. but he puts us with the cloud of witnesses that we're supposed to have around us to do the work he's also set before us to do. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to keep growing and striving and figuring it out day by day. And the best news is we don't have to do it alone.
I also like that he's not sharing a full testimony here. So he's not following in full, you know, Paul's footsteps or anything, but he's saying, you know, we saw Jesus. Like we're here because we saw it, you know, uh-huh. We were a part of it. And we want to make sure that you understand that it's valid. It was real. Mm. Like we're not making this up for fun. You know, if not, like, people aren't going to die for fun, for a joke, you know, yeah. For something they made up.
Yeah.
You know, the Babylon Bee, right? Is that they put out a video. Again, they don't know we're talking about this. This is not, you know, this is only because I saw it. Yeah, we're not looking for endorsements. This is just a video that I saw, you know, and it had the disciples, you know, all together around a bonfire after Jesus passed, you know, and they're all kind of talking like, what do we do now? Like, what's going to go on? And then one of them, and I'm, you know, I would assume at this point, because of how we know that it'd be Peter, right, saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to go in and we're going to take the Lord's body and we're going to hide him. And then we're going to tell everybody he rose again. And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, and why are we going to do this? So we can die. So we can be persecuted. Woo! Like, okay, well, when do we get the glory? We don't. The whole goal is just so that way we can, you know, and I mean, and I'm killing it because the video is hilarious because it's true.
Yeah.
Why would they have stuck to it? Why would they have suffered the way that they did, everybody but John? You know?
Yeah.
Why would they have done that?
Yeah.
When I question, I know it's true, and I question my own self, like, would I have been able to do it? Like, even now, if it comes to it, am I going to be able to stand there?
Yeah.
You know, in a lineup and die.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to believe that I have that faith. My faith is strong enough to understand that whatever I go through here is nothing in comparison to the glory that I'm going to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So any suffering I do there was going to be just, you know, erased up there. But to have, you know, why, you know, like, why would they have done that and died uh-huh. in the ways that they did and been okay to die in that way? you know, how can you not believe that's true?
Yeah. I mean, like we've already said, you know, this has been over 30 years, mm-hmm. probably closer to 40 years since Jesus was crucified. John the Baptist was beheaded. Stephen was stoned to death. You know, mm-hmm. James was beheaded. I mean, they've seen all of this and he's still straight up mm-hmm. preaching it.
Yeah. He's like, it's worth it. Yeah. Your suffering is worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they knew a little something about suffering.
Mm-hmm. He did. And, you know, I think that's, he understands the end's coming. So let me just explain it. Let me lay this out. Again, you know, I don't know if he was the last one, you know, to go. I don't know where he is in the succession. I don't know how that works. I know obviously John is the last because John died naturally.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's trying to make sure that he's done all he can to make sure that the church continues on after his death. Because he knows they're coming. He knows persecution is coming. And yeah. It's going to be just as hard and just as strong, you know. So he's trying to make sure that you guys get prepared because this is real. Like everything the Lord said, everything the prophet said, that's real. This isn't just a story. This isn't just something you learned in school anymore. This is, mm-hmm. we are living in what they talked about.
Yep.
And then he just wants to make sure everyone knows that the prophecy that they've seen come true, the prophecies that's yet to become true, you know, all this comes from the Holy Spirit. Because I think in some Peter 1, he mentions, you know, the prophets, and they didn't even understand exactly what was going to manifest. Mm-hmm. Alrighty, we'll move on to chapter 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring into indestructive hearsay, even denying that the master who brought them, bring upon themselves swift destructions. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth, with blasphemy, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to the ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued righteous Lot, gently distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as the righteous man lived among them, the day after day he was tormented, his righteous soul, over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard, then the Lord knows who to rescue the godly from the trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of the judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passions and despise authority. Bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious one, whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about the matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction, suffering wrong as the wage of their wrongdoing. They count in pleasure to reveal in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes revealing in their deception. While they fear with you, while they feast with you, they have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed children. Forsaking the right way, they are going astray. They have followed the way of Balaam and the son of Beor, who love gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke to in a human voice and restrained the prophet madness. These are waterless springs and mist driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passion of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For it, after they have escaped the defilement, and the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them to have known the way of righteousness, then after knowing it, turn back from the holy commandments delivered to them. What the true proverbs say has happened to them. The dog returns to his own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire.
I find it interesting that they still had, that they had to worry about false teachers. Being that close to when Christ was actually on.
Yeah, that quick.
All of a sudden you have people saying, no, that's not really what he meant. This is what it is. And I'm like, I understand now. We've had a couple thousand years in between us and them, right?
But I also think it was people trying to show that they were either closer to him or that they still knew more than him, because maybe he wasn't truly that prophet, or that, well, he didn't talk to you about this, and it says this in there and here, and then I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like today, some people saying, well, that's great that you believe that translation, but this is the only
right
translation that matters. Well, no. Like, that's why I like reading different translations of the Bible. It's not because any of them are actually 100% accurate. It's because the more studying I do, the closer I feel I do get to understanding what he's trying to show me. Because submit versus subject versus this, versus, you know, like whatever that word is, every different version of it helps me to go, oh, I didn't think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, I should have thought about it that way, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So right. I think that's why false teachers are going to live forever until we're in heaven.
And I think that's also the devil's way of trying to destroy the church.
Yes.
You know, set up those false,
false
teachers, false prophets, and try to pull people from the truth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Yep. Yeah. It's they scoff at things they don't understand, or they have to make sure that they're watching everybody else make sin. You know, don't you commit that sin, and they're watching everybody else, but they're not looking back at themselves and what they're doing, you know, in their journey. So I do like that in the NLT version, it says these people are as useless as dried up springs. They are doomed to blackest darkness. I want to know, I mean, like, blackest darkness is like, I guess, way out in the middle of the woods, or there's very much no light.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Like, you're not even seeing a star.
Yeah. Crazy.
Or maybe in a deep, deep cave.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I like in that 21, it said, it would be better if they had never known the way to righteousness than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life.
Yeah.
It's that whole part, you know, like the teachers will be judged harder than most because you're leading. So where are you leading people to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right?
And so you're having these false teachers that know the way, the truth, and the life, but are taking people down a different path. Yeah. One that might look like the way, truth, and life, but isn't.
Yeah.
It's leading them straight into hell.
And it's the selfish path, right? Like, there's lots of really wonderful evangelists in our world today, right? And some of them I have to go, did you just say that?
Yes.
Did you just say that? Now, I'm not perfect. I know I've made mistakes when I've tried to speak about something before, but did you just say that? Like, you have this moment of like, I don't think you understand what you're saying or how it's coming off as well. Yes. It's mm-hmm. It's also that delivery moment. Like, again, Jesus was like, hey, did you know? And like, he was forceful a few times. Yes, he had to be. Mm-hmm. Flipping tables, mm-hmm. a little bit of that stuff, right? But for the most part, he sat and had a conversation with you because mm-hmm. it's what was going to stick. The yelling at me or the telling me that I'm this crazy sinful being. Yes, you're not lying. But when you yell at me, mm-hmm. I'm not as apt to listen and then apply you're saying to me. Yeah exactly. Yeah. So I just think that's also part of what all this is, because all those false prophets are just yelling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're just saying, here, listen to us. We know more than him.
Yeah.
No. I almost want to say that maybe their false teachers, too, were a little more like our prosperity gospel preachers here. Mm-hmm. Now, ones that are like, oh, you don't really need to do that. Or if you follow Christ, you're going to have all of this, this, and this. But first, you got to give a little bit of this.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't want you to suffer. He wants you to live your life and live your best life. You know, yeah. And he does, but he wants you to live your best life for him.
Yeah.
You know, but again, that doesn't mean you're not going to suffer. Again, I said it before and we'll say it again. You know, Mary did not have a life full of, sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah.
I mean, God called her as a 13, 14-year-old girl to be the mother of Christ.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Not any pressure or anything.
Unmarried. Unmarried in her town of where, you know, her little itty-bitty town. She had issues. She didn't have issues. That's the wrong. But she was put in a situation which could have gotten her stoned.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But she trusted.
Yeah.
You know, and just because you trust in God does not mean that you're going to be free from trials and suffering. And again, like we talked about in the episodes with First Peter, it's you have to be joyous because you're suffering on his behalf.
Yeah.
People are recognizing the fact that you are speaking truth and they want to put a bushel over your light, right?
Yeah.
Let's go back to the old Sunday school song.
Hide it under a bushel. Oh, no.
Yeah. And you know, it's like you're saying, you know, he mentions and not just Peter, you know, Paul tells you to endure the long race. You know, when you come to Christ, it's not all, you know, rainbows and sunshines. It's suffering.
It is.
You know, and it's being set apart. It's being hated by the world. But it's not being hated because how you respond to something. It's being hated because they see Christ in you.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's another thing that Doug will always talk, that he has mentioned, at least I say always, like he says this every Sunday, but he doesn't. But he's mentioned it a few times in the last 5 years of us going to the church. And he said, I love seeing people on fire for God, but it scares me because I know the minute they're on fire for God that an attack is coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He goes, I know that it's going to happen and they're going to get so much pushback. And he just prays that that fire doesn't get put out.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't go out. Yeah. Yeah.
And again, sometimes our biggest testimony is when we're in those trials, when we're in that suffering. And mm-hmm. just like, you know, you had mentioned, you know, when we were in First Peter about the guy that you heard in, you know, in Madeira Beach talk about, yes, okay, this all happened to me, but I still have this and I still have that. And we're, you know, we're still this. And, you know, and that's the epitome of what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm.
Makes me think of that hymn too. It is well with my soul.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, I can't tell you the guy who wrote his name, mm-hmm. but he wrote it because he had just been through a horrible tragedy. He lost
his wife and son, I think, mm-hmm. right?
But his wife was family. The only one that survived. It was like so many daughters.
That's right.
Three
That's
or four
right.
daughters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And, but he could still say, it is well with my soul.
Yep. There was do you remember at Christ the King in Largo, there was this lady who sat in the back. Her name was Adele. And she told everyone to call her the old goat. I don't remember if you remember her from that church.
I'd probably know her face, but
you would. But anyway, so she sat in the back. She got her own chair. She didn't sit in a pew. She sat in a comfy chair in the back, in the middle. But every time you walked up to her, you'd say, "How are you today, Adele?" She would go, "It is well with my soul." It didn't matter if she goes, "Doesn't matter if I'm in pain or if I'm good. It's well with my soul." And she just had the most amazing perspective in the midst of all the things she was going through, because she had a lot of physical stuff and all that kind of stuff because she was older. But it was awesome to ask her that question every Sunday and be reminded, all that matters is it is well with my soul.
Well, so. Now I have a new goal.
Yeah, no, right? I know. It's awesome. Oh, it is well. Now I want to sing that song. It is well.
We sang it.
It is well with my soul. Okay, moving on.
That is probably one of my favorite old hymns right there. Like, that's the one I'll sing all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I would say it probably really wasn't my favorite until I heard the story behind it. Yeah. Now it is.
Yeah.
Well, it talks about, and it's, the one that really, when I really started loving the song, and this probably isn't fair, but it's Audrey Assad when she sings it. But mm-hmm. I listened, she's got such a beautiful voice, and she sings it, and it hit me, the verse that states, you know, he took my sin, not in part, but the whole.
Yeah.
But in whole.
You know,
yeah.
And it was nailed to the cross, and I know it no more. And I was like, that verse, every time I sing it, I have to compose myself.
Yep.
Like, if I'm on stage and Travis makes me sing that part, I'm always like, okay, God, because I don't know if I can get through it if I'm singing it myself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And, you know, because sometimes he'll break it up like, okay, I'll have somebody sing this verse and somebody else sings this verse and somebody else sings this verse. Or sometimes it's, I'm just the lead on the whole song and everybody's singing with me in spots. And I'm like, depending on how you do it, that's one of the ones that I have to like breathe in and out, you know, and it's that one. And the gratitude song has been getting me lately. Like, I don't got nothing. I don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. What I have is gratitude for who you are and what you've done.
Yeah.
You know, and even Steve's like, I used to not really like that song. He goes, but then it hit me that what they're saying.
I'm the same way. I used to not really like that song, but it really...
I've loved that song from the beginning, but I think it's because it's words. I tend to look at words after I hear a song the first time, because I'll go, oh, that's okay. Then I listen to the words and I go, okay.
Yep.
Now I have to like the song.
Yep.
I have to like the song.
Well, I think that's my problem, is because I'm a little, I hear the beat more than I hear the words. And so then it takes a little, maybe a few singings to for it to drill into my brain.
It's legit. There's a version of It Is Well by Anthony Evans. He is Priscilla Shire's brother.
Mm.
And I follow him on Instagram. But anyway, he sings, like, there's a couple blips on his Instagram, and I watched a YouTube video of him singing It Is Well. Good night. Tears.
Yep.
Because it's just so powerful. The way he pauses and takes those moments to really let those words sink in. So, Beauty. So,
it's the one that also, so, and the last, so I know we're off topic a little bit, but the,
it's what we do.
It is what we do. So it's, again, it's a real conversation. It's the Great I Am song, like that one. And it seems like, this just sounds like every worship song. And I'm like, it is. But can you imagine, you know, and like, you're talking about the angels are singing and you're up there and you're like, you know, I mean, there's been plenty of days that I can't even sing the song because I can't breathe. mm-hmm. in my car because I just got tears yeah. rolling down, you know, and it's yeah. like, you know, nothing can stand against the great I am. And I'm like, okay, yep, Lord, yep, you got this. You got everything. You got it all.
Yep.
You know, yep. I think that's also why worship is so important. Because mm-hmm. that one doesn't speak to Steve, and maybe it's not supposed to speak to him. That's fine. It's not supposed to speak to him now. Maybe it will in a couple of years. And he's like, I swear we've sang this song before. I'm like, we have. We've sang it back. I mean, we sang it at when we went to Bell Shoals and in Apollo Beach. We sang that there. I know we did.
Yeah.
You know, but, and there's other songs that we've sang there that I still are, you know, I love, like Who You Say I Am and that other one that's escaping me, like just the songs, but there's a reason that we worship that way. Cause there's stuff that, you know, everybody will say, well, worship wasn't, you've heard people say worship wasn't good today. I didn't feel it. Well, worship's not for you,
mm-hmm.
but there's also a connection that you get to sometimes when you are in just one of those really good worship song sessions, right? Or if you're in your car and the Holy Spirit is playing one banger after another because he knows what your soul needs to sing to God, and you're just, by the time you're done, A, you're dehydrated, you know? And then but you're also, you're free, you know, because uh-huh. sometimes there's nothing that you can say on your own, and you need that. You need that worshiping God. There's that moment to be in his presence and just thanking him for what he's done, or coming to him and saying, you know, I, this is who I am. Or, you know, if you listen to, you know, the Hillary Scott, you know, the Be Still, like, I'm just gonna, you know, and then you have her, you know, you just have all these songs that sometimes it's a, I'm going to come to you, Lord, and here's, I don't understand this. This isn't making sense. You know, so if sometimes you singing that is a worship because you're just, that's how you feel and you don't know how to yeah. say it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can't find the words or mm-mm. the thoughts or anything. And then that song comes on and you go, yep, thank you.
Yep. That's exactly it.
What this moment needed.
Yeah. And then the next song comes on because it reminds you exactly who he is, you know, and what he said he's going to do. And who you are in him. And, you know, it's just, it's something. Yeah. The worship songs, I understand why, you know, Miriam was the first, you know, the first woman pastor, but the first woman music leader, right? She led those women in song and dance, and I mm-hmm. get it, you know, yeah. because there's so much. There's power in music that you can start to relate to it. And it's not every day. There's days I'm yeah. like, I don't, you know, it's, there are days it's not hitting you. You hear the, yeah. you know, it's just in the background. You've heard these songs a million times and you're like, yep, whatever.
Yep.
And then you have the yeah. days where it's like, whew, Lord, I needed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I heard it. Okay. I heard it, you know, you're sitting there with background music and all of a sudden you get that tap on your shoulder. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I would have to say, too, like, some of my favorite verses in the Bible is talking about nature worshiping God,
mm-hmm.
too.
Yep. Yep.
Even the yep. rocks cry out.
Yep.
Something I think, I feel like, I know, and it's the old age in me speaking a little bit, as we... Some of this new Christian music isn't Christian music. Like, it is, right? Like, it's good music. You know, it's something I don't mind having my kids listen to.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad that that's what they're listening to, and compared to other things.
It's clean.
It's very clean. And they do. Some of them talk about God is good, all these things. And I yes, listen to this. This is awesome. But again, I feel like I'm showing my age here because I'm like, you're not singing this in church.
Yeah.
Y'all aren't going to end up in a church where you're singing some of these songs. So... I think we're blessed to be able to be in a church that kind of mixes a lot of the old hymns with some of the new stuff, because we're mainly kind of almost an acoustic church. You know, we don't mm-hmm. have a lot. And I think there's something to be said for that, but there's also something to be said to go to a woman's, you know, weekend retreat and having a full on band up there with a little bit of worship, like having a little bit of mega yeah. church worship music.
Yeah.
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 I like that. It's so every Sunday, because obviously I'm the worship director at my church. Mm-hmm. I get the very traditional service at 8:15 in the morning. And I then have the 11 o'clock service, which is the contemporary service. So I really am blessed week in, week out to have the best of both worlds, in my opinion, where I get to praise him in so many different ways each week. So when people say, Leslie, which one's your favorite service? I'm like, both. They're like, that's the cop-out answer. I'm like, no, it's the truth. Because both serve a different purpose. And sometimes one week, yeah, the traditional might speak a little bit more to me, the music that I picked, mm-hmm. or that this happened, or that thing, or whatever. But gosh, it's just a blessing to praise him in lots of different ways.
You know, my grandma always said that it's the old worship hymns, the old hymns have so much scripture in them that we don't have now. So I always feel like now I feel like I'm probably be my grandma, like those new songs aren't right. But again, I listen to them. Do not get me wrong. I listen to them and I'll have them on the car and I'm jamming, but yeah. They're not that put me in a place of reverence with the Lord songs. They're good. Feel good. Like, let's get the word of God out songs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They have their place.
Yeah, they have their place. And you know, but Steve always says, I hate that people capitalize on old hymns. You shouldn't get paid for redoing somebody else's hymns. And I'm like, yes and no.
But if it gets people hearing it.
So yeah. Right?
It gets like, people hearing it.
Like, you're bringing out, you're still bringing out the scripture. You're still bringing it. You're bringing that, the teachings of old back out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because some of the Christian music today is not biblically sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even some of the worship music that's coined worship music isn't biblically sound. So yep. I don't have as much of an issue with bringing back old hymns.
Yeah. And that's what I really like about Travis, too, is mm-hmm. he really looks at the songs he chooses to make it sure it does have, it is biblically sound. And sometimes he will say, well, we're going to do this song, but I've really looked at it.
All right, should we go to the finale of Second Peter?
Yep.
Awesome. All right. So Second Peter 3 says, this is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I really like that. Anyway, sorry. Mm-hmm. I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago, and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in these last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the time of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment, when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives should you live? Looking forward to that, to the day of God, and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him, speaking of these things in all of his letters. Some of his comments are hard to understand, and those who are ignorant, and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do with other parts of Scripture. And this will end in their destruction. You already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of those of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. I think that's his drop the mic moment.
Yeah.
That term in verse one, I've tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. Because I'm not the only one who's told you to do this. I'm not the only one who's told you these things. I'm not the only one, but I'm going to help you remember. I'm going to refresh. I'm going to refresh. I'm going to refresh.
Don't forget this.
Yep.
I'm a broken record, but when you know when this was written and how close it was to his death, you understand you can almost feel the fervency, like the he needed to get this out and he needs to make sure his point's getting across.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys need to watch it, because people are going to be, they're saying, you know, I know Paul's hard to understand, which I'm like, yes sir, you know, but you know, people are going to twist his words even worse than you think. You don't understand him, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to take those words. They're going to take my words. They're going to do what they can in order to try to discredit me, discredit Paul, discredit everybody. You guys need to stand firm. You need to remember, you know, right? You need to be able to run the race. Like, you know, a lot of everything I was reading, like, gird your loins. Like, you need to... You need to be ready. Put on that armor of God. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to be able, because even Peter knew that's not just, you're not getting it from just the people around you. You're getting it from unseen forces too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And I really let you know, like, yeah, there's an end coming. Mm-hmm. And you need to get with it.
Prepared.
Well, but I love that reminder, because it's even a great reminder to us today when we're like, okay, Jesus, I'm ready. Could you come now?
Yeah.
Like, 1,000 days is like, mm-hmm. a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And what is that? Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great praise and worship song, because mm-hmm. you keep going, okay, how bad does it have to get again? And of course, we're not nearly as bad as the flood, when it was the flood, or Sodom and Gomorrah, or things like that, even though it feels like that to us, because we've not had that experience other times, right? But it's that moment of patience, that God's got this plan. Just be patient and keep telling people about him.
Because mm-hmm. he wants
keep
to save
doing the work.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I appreciate the way it was put in here. It's like, where is it? I just lost it. Wait, and so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. Mm-hmm. Ugh, that's such a great reminder to us. Especially me when I get impatient.
Same. It's again, it's what I love about Peter. There's not much to say, because he said it, and he said it in a way that you don't have to decipher it. Mm-hmm. This isn't, well, you know, this could mean this or this could mean that. Peter, he laid it out. Mm-hmm. This is what this means. You know, it's not hard to understand. You're not reading Isaiah. It's not like you're reading Jeremiah. Yeah. It's not like, you know, your
revelation.
You don't have a lot of question here. He's like, this is what we're going to do. And there's going to be this. There's going to be trials. There's going to be false teachers. And you know what? Let's just remember that this really happened. Jesus is who he says he is. He did what the things that he said he was going to do. I was there. I saw it. Don't forget.
Yeah. That's why I like not trying to wrap us up. I'm trying to say I love that finale verse. Mm-hmm. Rather, you must grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have to keep growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to keep seeking and growing. This is the only way you're going to make it through all this stuff. And it's the only way that I'm going to make it through what I got to go through now. Because he knew it was coming.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, there is not much, like you said just a few minutes ago, there is not much else to add. Because he, especially in this final chapter, he spells it out. Yes, it feels like we're waiting a long time. Yes, you're going to get people yelling at you and telling you that you don't believe in the story. They don't believe in the story anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Stay steadfast. Stay steadfast. Yeah. Grow in your knowledge.
I do like that he, you know, it's the same that we've read before, you know, just, and I can't remember where it was, you know, where it says, you know, you need to look it up. You need to do it for yourself. Like if this is what you're being told, just make sure, like just to kind of back it, you know, this is, you know, they're going to be twisting these letters. They're going to twist my words. They're going to twist their words, but you know, and they're going to look at other parts of scripture and that'll be their destruction. But that's, you know, you need to grow in your faith because then you'll understand what's being told to you is false and what's being told to you is true. You need to be able to have that discernment, and you're not going to have it if you're not in it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not paying attention, if you're not, you know, studying it. And I think that's what his point across is you guys need to do this because you need to be aware that there are false teachers out here that have no bones about making sure that you guys go to hell instead of going where I'm going.
Yeah. I'm lacking Peter more and more.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo!
That's about all she wrote. I don't feel like we can add anything to it. I don't feel like... Second Peter is just a strong, bring it home. I have to tell you this to clear my own mind to make sure that you guys keep it up. Because I'm not going to be around to be able to show you the way. So I need it written down. I need to make sure that this letter gets around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, and knowing again that right, you know, shortly after here, that's when he was crucified, and you know, watched his wife get crucified. You know that knowing that suffering, and then Paul shortly thereafter, or right before, I don't know. Again, I don't know succession, but I know it was right around the same time. If it wasn't even the same day, yeah. You know, also be crucified. So you've just lost two heads of the church, and I think he knew like, okay, he's gonna be gone and that's gonna hurt the movement, and then Paul too, and then that's also gonna hurt the movement.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Whether or not he knew it was the same day, he knew it was coming, you know, and he uses this Second Peter, this letter that he wrote, as a battle cry, you know, a call to arms, like, okay, we're not going to be here. You guys need to be.
Yeah.
You guys need to carry this torch. It's your turn. All right. Well, thanks for sticking with us through First and Second Peter. I hope you guys enjoyed it or saw it differently like we all did. And, you know, this is, again, another book of the Bible that I read a few times, right? And all of a sudden it's like, whew, mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, just to have that. Everything he's written, I would feel like I highlighted it, like I highlighted James, and like I highlighted Titus, and like I highlighted Jude, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it I mean, that'll preach, you know, Peter, First and Second Peter, that'll preach all of it, you know. There's, and it just makes me love him more. Like, he's on my list. Like, I want to talk to him before I talk to Paul. I might want to talk to him, you know. I want to have a conversation with, I also want to have a conversation with Peter's wife, like, hey, I want to have a conversation with you, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously there's lots of women in the Bible that I want to have a conversation with when I get up there, but Peter's on that list. Like, he's probably one of the first men I want to talk to, maybe James too, because
yep.
he is my boy. But
James and Peter.
Yep. Let's just get a group. Let's have a group chat. You know, I can't choose. You know, but it's one of the ones that just really, and I think I say this every time, you know, like every book of the Bible that we look into, everything, I find something that I love. And yep. I'm so glad that, you know, we're doing this, and I know that we're on the right path and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, because there's no reason stuff is speaking to me in the way that it is, that it isn't just directly from God. So at least I know that there's that.
Yep.
So hopefully we all feel the same about that.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree wholeheartedly.
You know, so I'm grateful that we are all on this journey together, and that we get to sit around here and talk about God and dig into the Bible and just talk about our experiences and go off on our tangents about hymns, you know. But again, I also think that's because we can't add to what Peter said. You know, laid it out about false teachers. He laid it out about what we need to do, and so our you know, if we're gonna do the Great Commission, now our job is to go and tell. And that's what we're doing.
Agreed.
Yep.
So on that note, we will see everybody next time. We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast, the Come As You Are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.